Okay, this is the Pacifica National Board meeting, teleconference, August 24th, 2007. Mary Berg is the secretary. Will you call the roll, please, Mary?
Dave Adelson?
Here.
Mary Berg? Present. Evelyn Bethune? Lydia Brazad? A.C. Bird? Lisa Davis?
Here.
Chandra Hauptmann is not here. She's out of the country. She will not be here. Ray LaForest, Ambrose Lane, Bob Lederer.
Here.
Margaret Prescott, Sarge Randhawa.
Here.
Sandra Rawline.
Here.
Bertold Reimer. Rip Robbins. What I heard, Rip? Are you here?
Present.
Thomas Ruffin. Wendy Schrell.
Here.
Lori Taguma. Lori Taguma.
Here.
Don White.
Here.
LaVarne Williams. LaVarne. I think you're here. You want to unmute?
I'm
LaVarne?
Sorry. Yes. Present. Thank you.
Michael Woodson.
I'm here.
Is there anyone on the call whose name I did not call before I get to other people?
Did you call me? This is Lydia.
I did, but you...
Okay, sorry.
Okay, you are here. Anybody else? Okay, Greg Guma?
Here.
And Lonnie Hicks? Is Lonnie Hicks here? I don't hear Lonnie. Okay, I'll go with the people that didn't answer before. Evelyn Bethune. A.C. Bird.
Point of information.
Ray LaForest. Ambrose Lane. Bertold Reimers. Margaret Prescott. Thomas Ruffin. Okay, and Lonnie Hicks.
Lonnie's here.
He is here, but he didn't speak at all. So but you will vouch that he's here. Okay, somebody will. All right. That's all we have right now, unless time. Did anybody on the call whose name was not called? Okay.
Thank you, Mary. So the proposed agenda for the public session, which will be followed by an executive session, is roll call and approval of agenda for 15 minutes, an ED report for 20 minutes, finance committee report, public portion for 20 minutes, and motions postponed from the PMB meeting in Los Angeles. Those motions were the Brazad motion to increase the national election supervisor hours from 120 to 160, proposed for 15 minutes. And a motion also by Brazon to increase the advertised salary for the ED position to 100,000, 15 minutes. Is there a motion to adopt that agenda, after which we'll consider amendments?
Mary Berg so moves.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Okay.
Who seconded,
it's
please?
Sarp did. It's open for discussion.
May I get on the stack, Mr. Chair?
You go ahead.
I had requested, I had sent something out about a week ago that there be some discussion pertaining to the events that happened with the Steve Brown email that got sent all over. I think that I would like that to be on the agenda.
Okay, that request came after the notice of meeting in the 1 week, so we have to have
add it.
It has to be without objection.
I sent that. Let me go back to the date when I originally sent it.
That's Saturday morning.
I sent it out. Hold on. I know I sent it out twice.
I have the date, 8/18 at 3:28 a.m.
You have both of the dates that I sent it out? I sent it out twice?
Hey, let's just ask, does the board want to entertain this item on tonight's agenda?
Point of inquiry or question, Don Whitaker.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I would raise an objection to this unless I was very, very clear over what the objective of this agenda item is. So I'm wondering if the member who's proposing it can tell us, if we spend a lot of time on it, what the objective of placing it on the agenda might be. And then I would consider raising an objection to it.
Do you want to clarify, Lisa, the intent?
Well, I mean, there's been quite a bit of discussion about it. I know things were raised about the protocol and how do you ask and going about certain things, especially when emergency situations come up. I think it's important to talk about it and to have these discussions in public about what is going on, because it is causing quite a stir and things that are going on. So that's why I want to talk about it. As
by the way, could members not speaking please mute themselves, because we're getting that underwater effect again, and it's hard to hear people. So if you mute yourself, on this service, mute is *6. If you can mute yourself, maybe it'll improve the sound quality. Thanks. Okay, so the motion is to amend by adding an item to discuss the solicitation by Steve Brown to members regarding donations. Is there a second to that? Hearing no second, that fails. Next, any other amendments? Okay, now you have to unmute yourself. *6 is a toggle.
This is Wendy.
Yep, Wendy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm trying to get off speaker.
It's going to be one of those nights.
The night has already begun.
It hasn't it, though?
I don't think it ever ended. I think it started 2 days ago.
Yeah, well, that's
exactly. We're fine.
All right. Well, while the crickets converse with each other, I'll raise a point that was raised with me by Bob, which is we have to
Margaret Prescott.
Thank you.
Hello, Margaret. We have to schedule a meeting to vote on the bylaws amendment. Anybody want to make that motion? Actually, let's just add to the agenda scheduling of the next meeting. Is there any objection to our adding scheduling in the next meeting agenda at the
Evelyn.
End of the public session agenda
Thank
for
you.
10 minutes?
This is Lydia.
Go ahead.
Don't we also have to discuss the next in-person meeting?
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to raise.
Okay, then I move to add that as an item to
Please.
The agenda that is pressing because of the airline ticket. Prices.
Okay. How long do you want to recommend?
Oh, God. 10 minutes.
you
don't think? Okay, 15.
Not in this lifetime.
Okay, 15.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because hopefully we can refer it to somebody.
Okay, 15 minutes. Is there any objection to adding that as the next to last item on the agenda, with the last item being scheduling the next teleconference?
Oh, that's the last item?
The last item on the public session is the scheduling of our next meeting.
Oh, the
next
last.
The last item would be issues related to venue of the in-person meeting.
As long as we make sure we get it covered?
Yeah, I don't know if we ought to wait till last. Can we move?
Well, this is all before the executive session, so there should be time.
Okay, are there any further amendments to the agenda? Hearing none.
This is Margaret.
Yes, Margaret.
Dave?
Yes.
Did you all get a message from Chandra Ree Emotion on the San Francisco 8? I'm sorry, I was out of the country and I saw something about it. Was it for this meeting?
I can look it up, but I don't believe so. It didn't go out with the notice of meeting.
Okay.
Let me look.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. I don't know. Is it time sensitive?
Well, you know, I mean, the trial is going on right now, but I don't have wording of a motion. I know Chandra was working on it, and from what you're saying, she didn't send one around. So
okay,
it's her motion. I was just going to second it.
Okay. Okay. Here we go. Actually, there was a motion that was distributed on the 14th, actually. So...
Support of whom, please?
It would be in order if people wanted to add it, but I don't know that it's time sensitive.
Dave, I'm sorry. Did you just say that she did send a motion around?
On the 14th, yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think if it's something that can be disposed of, you know, quickly... it might be one of those things that we could quickly reach some consensus on and move forward. When there's trial going on, you never know how time sensitive it is.
Do you want to make a motion to add it to this agenda?
Yes, I would.
Is there a second?
I'm sorry, but who is the group? What?
Chandra.
Yeah, I just
don't
know.
Chandra's on the
in
phone.
In support of who is on trial?
San Francisco 8.
Thank you. That's what I wanted.
Right. Chandra put forward a motion on the San Francisco 8, which I am prepared to second and would propose that we add it, you know, on the agenda. I think it would just take, like, what, 3-4 minutes at max.
Well, I would second that at the end, though, so that if in fact, we're quite late, we would just then guarantee that it be moved to the next meeting's agenda.
Okay.
Okay.
At end. Okay. I will second that.
Okay. Is there any objection? It will say 10 minutes as the final item of the public session. Okay. Are there any other amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as amended? Hearing no objection, then we'll proceed. The next item on the agenda is the ED report. Greg?
Yeah. Okay. I'll try to be brief. I'll just deal with a couple of items, a little bit on programming, a little bit on the elections, and maybe a little bit on the PMB meeting, since there's been a lot of email traffic about that. As far as programming is concerned, most of the PDs and the GMs.
Greg?
Excuse me?
Before you continue, can I ask everybody to please mute yourself because the echoes makes it very difficult.
Okay, concerning programming, most of the PDs and the GMs appear to be now committed to developing and airing new national programming. There has been last week, a special meeting of PDs and other staff. I think it was the 16th of the month, and they're going to be following up next week again. And the basic premise for a new program that people have kind of signed on to at this point is that all stations would be consistently represented in some way on a week-to-week basis. But what the group is now hashing out is the specifics of the format and issues. For example, as to how the hosting is going to be handled, and that we're hoping that once this is resolved in another meeting or two, Nathan will be bringing the ideas that have been developed to the programming committee for the next stage of this development, where the programming committee would have a role as per the programming national programming policy in the development of any programming and a budget to some extent that would be associated with that. So we're making some progress on the discussion that was held in Los Angeles in July and follows on, actually, discussions in April. Concerning the elections, Bob had requested a while back that I verify that the bylaws amendments, CARTs, have been running consistently on the stations, and this I took up with all the general managers actually a couple of weeks ago, and they all, you know, verify and attest that these cards have been running consistently on the stations, and it is also still posted on the Pacifica website. Casey Peters has been in Berkeley the last couple of days, and so we've been going over the progress of the election cycle, and he'll have met with staff members today. The posting of all the unpaid staff list has been completed for all the stations, so we're in that stage at this point. The closing date for memberships, as you know, is the end of this month, and there are going to be call-in shows at most of the stations related to that over the next week or so, as well as membership parties at the end of the month. Casey says that we're getting a better candidate response than last year as far as for the time period that we're in. I don't have figures on that, but that's what he said today. The final date for people to raise objections to the staff list is coming up in September, the middle of September, September 15th. And so that's really the phase we're at right now, where the lists are posted and people can now review them and appeal the names on the list. And there'll be events held at each station on September 25th, which is when the nominations close. Both KPFK and WBAI are offering waivers for this election cycle. And as I assume most of you know, that the LSPs will make the decisions on whether this option is taken and who is granted waivers. There's probably, and then, of course, Casey has issued a ruling in the last couple of days relating to term limits, and there may be some questions relating to that. I believe you've all at least seen the ruling that he came out with, or interpretation. He's calling it an interpretation because he believes that there may still be room for some modification in that. On the PMB meeting, I think you've seen some recommendations from Lonnie on the expense of meeting in New York and the difficulty of doing that because of the UN session and other factors. I discussed this with staff today, and for what it's worth, most of the people on the phone call today feel that Berkeley is a suitable replacement alternative. Also responding to some of Lonnie's suggestions, feel that holding a meeting just for the ED search might not be that much of a saving. That was one of the options that Lonnie had laid out. Another suggestion that was made by the staff was to do an abbreviated board business meeting without staff and just transport the board and the executive director candidates along with holding a public comment session. And then they also suggested waiving the union hotel requirement if that was necessary. I'm not necessarily endorsing these suggestions. I'm just presenting to you what their input was. There's another suggestion to use St. John the Divine in New York as a location, and that's being looked at, as well as some hotels in the Berkeley area. But the time is running out, and obviously it's very important for this agenda item at the end of your meeting to make a decision on what you're going to do about both the timing and the location of the next meeting. And I believe Lonnie will have more to say about the financial implications of that. I'll stop there.
Okay. We have about 14 minutes for discussion.
Margaret, I have a question.
And Bob.
Go ahead.
Mine is actually, Greg, just following up. It's very quick follow-up to the National Mumia special. I had been in communication with yourself and also with Nathan about it, and the last communication I got from you was that there was going to be a staff meeting or meeting, I guess, with program directors, and there would be some discussion about it. But I haven't heard anything yet. We all know that the show stars Mamiya. They gave an exclusive interview to us. And as far as I know, KPFK, during my hour, is the only station that has played it. But I've been out of the country, so maybe I'm missing something. If you could fill me in if you have that information.
Or if not, help me to get it. No, I will get it. And Nathan was on top of this, but he's gone on vacation. My understanding was that it was scheduled to be broadcast on a number of stations, not just your station. I know that it's on the front page of the Pacifica website right now as a featured available program. It's like the first thing you see. But I don't know which stations have actually played it. I know that New York had WBAI had committed to putting it in the schedule. I recall that, but I never heard what date they were going to play it. And I believe that one or two of the other stations also committed, but I'm sorry, I'll have to get back to you, particularly when Nathan's back in the loop, and I'll try to write to you next week.
Thanks.
Add to that, this is Sandra, KPFT.
Go ahead, Sandra.
I was just going to add that KPFT did air it. I heard it one night this week when I was on my way to a meeting.
Yeah, I think it's aired on a couple of probably around three stations, but I've been on vacation myself, so I'm sorry, I just don't know the answer.
That's great. I'm asking because I want to send the info to Mamiya and to Danny Glover, both of whom have requested it.
I hear you. I'll try to get it to you as soon as possible early next week.
Thanks.
Can you tell me, this is Lori, I had my program director look for the piece on the Pacifica site, and she couldn't find it about a week ago. Has it been available?
Well, my understanding is that it's right. I just looked at it recently, and I thought it was right on the front page. It's certainly available via audio port. Has been for some time.
You were looking for it. I guess you didn't look in the right place.
Well, right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I remember visiting the website just recently, and it was sort of right there on the front page.
Oh, good. Okay.
But I'm cool. Going to go back and check. I'm having a little trouble with internet access right now. Maybe someone else can help me with that.
Yes, it is on the front. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm trying to see if I can get the audio to download. Oh, yeah, there it is. There's a different links.
Okay. Anyway. Is there anything else on the ED report?
This is Bob.
Bob, go ahead.
I had a couple questions about the process around the development of the new national program. Two questions. One is, we mentioned coming that I believe you said that Nathan would be coming before the National Programming Committee. Is that before or after a final proposal? Because my understanding is the committee, and someone who's on the call from the committee can correct me, that the committee had requested that the program directors actually come on their next call and talk about the proposal before it's absolutely final.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think we're even close to final, to tell you the truth, Bob. I mean, they're still at the point of, you know, I could send you the minutes of this meeting. There, we had somebody take pretty comprehensive minutes, and I mean, they're at the point of saying, yeah, we agree we want to do a national show. They haven't even agreed whether it'll be daily or weekly. They haven't agreed on the exact format, so we're not even close to final. I think the idea is to just get kind of a consensus from general managers and program directors on the basic nature of the thing, you know, and then go to the programming committee while it's still in process. Nathan knows very well that, you know, that the committee and other stakeholders want to participate in this, but it makes no sense to go unless you've got at least the basic buy-in, and we don't really have that to a point where there would be much to bring to a committee quite yet.
Oh.
It's kind of like pulling teeth in a way.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, anyway, that's where it's at. It's still very preliminary, I'd say.
Okay. And the other part of that process is that the national programming policy says that new programming, national programming, should be developed in consultation at each station with their staffs. And I'm wondering if that is happening.
That I couldn't tell you. To be honest with you, I kind of doubt it. But you raise a good point, and I'll be on the call next week, and I'll point that out.
Okay, thank you.
Rip Robbins here.
Go ahead, Rip.
Yeah, Greg, as the executive director, I guess you're the best person to talk to about operations at the foundation. And as a board member, I guess I get my information from you to find out how the foundation's doing. And I kind of just want to ask you, as a director of a foundation of this size, about the turnout for the various elections that are held by stations and the national board, and that whether you, in your history of learning about democratic institutions, would actually think that a 10% turnout of voters represents the constituency of the station, or that a 20% turnout of the actual staff, the non-paid staff at a station, is actually indicative of a functional operation, or whether maybe the voters really feel that it's an insignificant aspect of the radio station. What do you think about that?
That's quite a provocative question, Rip. My feeling is that 10% is not a bad turnout, and actually the turnout was actually higher this year than it, or the past, in 2006 than it had been in the previous election. But still, we're talking about, you know, 1% of the listenership, essentially. And, yeah, that's not a huge number of people. I don't really have a strong opinion about that, except to say that I had recommended a couple of things to Les when he was the National Election Supervisor, and I've mentioned to Casey, is that one of the things that occurs to me is that when people are joining Pacifica, some of them realize that this is an institution in which you're expected to be active and voting participants, but I think many people do not, that many people view it more like a traditional charitable contribution, that they give their money and they wish the organization to do well, and that they don't have that intention to participate. And so the thing that I've suggested was that in some way people should be asked, such as they are asked when they move into a new community and they register to vote, that people should register or at least affirm that they actually want to participate in the elections. I think that if you could affect that change, then the participation rate of those who chose to participate would be quite a lot higher. You still have the problem of whether voting is the only way to affect a democratic organization, and that was the subject of an email that I sent to many of you recently, that I think that it's possible that that the structure that is currently in place in some respects has a tendency to encourage competition rather than cooperation, which is more in harmony with Pacifica's values, and that there are some changes that you might consider that over time that would encourage and nurture more cooperation and more efficiency. But that's a very deep question that you're asking, and I don't really know that what I say would really matter that much. It would just be one more opinion.
And we've got about two more minutes left. So
this is Wendy.
Hey, thank you, Greg.
Sure.
Did you say go ahead?
Yeah.
Okay, Greg, I saw in an email from one of the board members that he expected that this would be your last meeting with the board tonight. Is that true? Are you not planning to be at the September meeting of the PNB?
I don't plan to be at the in-person meeting. I will be on call to take place between now and, you know, for example, if you hold a meeting, you know, in a couple of weeks from now, I'll be on the call with you. I have not taken more than 3 days vacation in the last year, and so I'm going to, you know, sort of cash in my vacation toward the end of September. So I won't see you in wherever you are, Berkeley, New York. We won't see each other in person.
Well, I think that's too bad. It's kind of confusing because your resignation date is September 30th.
This was discussed with the group that negotiated this agreement, and I made it pretty plain. And really, frankly, on that level, I'm an employee just like anybody else, and I can, you know, take a vacation, you know, when I need to, and I only have this opportunity to take it.
Okay, my second question is about the Pacifica webpage. I see this beautiful picture of Mumia. I'm so happy to see that there. I see Free Speech Radio News mentioned there. I see Democracy Now! Mentioned there. I see that I love the headlines thing, and I see I'm going to be asking this question of Pete. Why does every headline say Democracy Now! And WBAI on it rather than how do the rest of our stations get our stuff mentioned on there? But my question is, why don't we see our other national program, which is From the Vault, mentioned on the Pacifica Radio page?
I think that that's also a very good question and one that Brian's been raising. I honestly can't tell you why it hasn't happened, and it bothers me as well. As far as the rest of the stations, it has to do with how they the connection between this internet site and the other local internet sites, and also the tagging of different shows and the I think you need to ask that question to Pete.
I will, and I just wonder if we should, as a board, pass a motion asking for From the Vault to be mentioned on the Pacifica.org radio page.
You can do it, and I'm sure that it would put, a fire under him to get it done. And I think it's a quite legitimate, criticism.
Particularly when this program is going to be heard all over the world now, and that's going to be driving people to the Pacifica webpage. Okay, thanks.
Okay, that concludes the time allotted for the ED report. The next thing that we have on the agenda is, hold on a second, the Finance Committee report, I believe. The public portion. Now, LaVon, do we have a public portion
it's,
report out at this time?
Yeah, this is LaVon. Can you hear me now? Okay,
yes.
Cool. Yeah, it's just very short, and I think that what we need to do, if we want more details about this, because basically it's the report is that we – shall I begin?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
But, before you start, this is Ray, by the way. I'm on. I'm somewhere upstate, New York, and my cell phone didn't work at all. So it took me half an hour to get a different phone. So.
Thank you.
Go ahead, LaVon.
Okay, we accept the excuse this time.
Thank you.
This is LaVon Williams. I'm the chair of the National Finance Committee, and we met on Thursday night, and we actually met this afternoon before the PNB meeting. And just briefly, the Finance Committee received the report from the CFO on the five station budgets, and the major concern is the WBAI budget that currently presents an $88,000 deficit for 2008. And the WBAI fund drive forecasts are reduced from the budgeted levels in the 2007 budget. However, expenses have not been reduced to either accumulate savings nor seriously present a budget to the Finance Committee that the Finance Committee can act on. And that's basically what we have done. We have another meeting scheduled for next Wednesday, August the 29th, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, so that we can really go into and review the budgets in more detail. And the other report from the Finance Committee were motions that were considered in the closed session. And, again, any details on the budget, we can speak with the CFO, Lonnie Hicks.
LaVon, wasn't there also a question about this headcount? Didn't we debate the motion and the question of whether we would update the motion that we passed on using 2007 levels as a guideline?
We did talk about that, and the PNB actually passed the motion and the PNB meeting in L.A. that said we would hold expenses to the level of 2007. And the issue of headcount, like even with the WBI budget, is that the question is will we hold the headcount to the ending headcount at the end of fiscal 2007, which would be the headcount at the end of September, or would we hold it at the budgeted level for 2007? And we continue to go through this discussion because the position basically is that if you have headcount at the end of September 2007, and that headcount is at the budget level, however, you have perhaps have not added headcount positions that were in the budget that would take you above that level, well, the question is that should those headcount or position still be filled in 2008? And the CFO can confirm this. His direction or initiative, I believe, is to hold the headcount at the levels of, not to exceed the levels of 2008, the actual or versus the budget level. So, Lonnie, you can confirm this. This is an ongoing discussion.
I'd like to yield the chair to Sarv for the remainder of this because I'd like to be recognized in the discussion. Sarv, can you take over the chair until the end of this item?
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. So before Dave goes with a comment, let's just hear from the CFO.
Go ahead, Lonnie.
Lonnie, are you there?
Lonnie
is not there. Well, let's go ahead. Why don't we recognize Dave? I'll give it over to Sarv.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Go ahead, Dave. Who's there?
The discussion? Hello?
Lonnie, go ahead.
Yes. Okay, well, the discussion centers around the board at the last, at the July board, passed a motion that said we were to hold expenses to FY07 levels. A second motion was that each station, our unit would create a contingency plan where monies would be available if there were bad drive or unanticipated expenses. The third motion, which is the one we're referring to, is one where the board referred to the Finance Committee to discuss holding staffing levels to FY07 levels. And, of course, questions arose as to what that meant. Some folks had made the argument, well, if I have a budgeted position, but which I never hired the position, could I, in fact, consider that to be a position that is hireable in the FY08 budget? Other folks said, well, I would like to be able to hire additional individuals, let's say a fund development person, which is WBAI, and have that person be counted and included in the FY08 budget, which would increase the staffing. The two answers that is, the first answer is that you have to do it on a case-by-case basis. And in the case of a position that was budgeted but was never hired, there are two criteria I look at. That doesn't mean everyone does, but the way I look at it is if that position does not violate the FY07 constraint, that is to say, does not increase the deficit for that station or doesn't increase the expenses from the FY07, then at least it can be looked at. And the second screening process would be whether or not that new position, in fact, produces revenue. Because you want to have activities and staffing that has the effect of increasing revenue that can pay for itself. Because the constraint is that if you increase the budget in Area A, you must decrease it in Area B in order to maintain the FY07. The last criteria is irrespective of whether it's in the budget this year or that or next year, it has to be affordable. The first requirement, I believe, for each unit is that they eliminate deficits. So increasing the deficit is not advisable or prudent. So we're still in discussion on this item in the Finance Committee, and we'll come back, I guess, with some recommendation. Anyway, that's sort of part of the discussion.
Thank you, Lonnie. And now the questions from the floor.
I'd like to be added to the stack at some point, Sarv.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to speak. Yeah, the one of the things also that one of the questions that I wanted addressed was, we actually, as a board, have talked about and I believe approved certain positions in the system for the affiliates director and I think the system for the web effort. And so I, you know, what I'm trying to figure out is how this motion A will affect those positions be how it relates to the development director position that was desired at BAI, and C, for those stations, I think it was Houston and D.C. had positions in their budget. Lonnie addressed that question of for stations that have had budgeted for a position but not filled it. But as he says, we'll be continuing to work on this. We're not finished with the discussion, and I don't think it's ripe yet to bring it to the board. But those are the questions that are being discussed.
Greg?
Yeah. This is just basically dovetailing on Dave's comment that, yes, we do have in the national office two positions, one as a assistant, I think part-time position for the affiliates outreach coordinator, and another for the web effort that were approved in FY07, and actually money was expended, but they didn't hire on a staff basis. There was basically short-term consultants were brought in over a period of time. So I don't know if all the money was expended, but a significant portion for each position. And so now the question becomes, you know, do you continue on a contingent basis with consultants, or do you hire the positions? And I think the argument could be made either way. I personally think that they should hire the positions since they were already approved, and I believe that in the case of both, arguments can be made that they would produce revenue and are not, actually increasing the budget over last year since we were spending the money. But again, this has to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis and on a question of affordability as we get into the final stage of the budget. I just want to make a pitch for serious, not overlooking those two positions as we look at station budgets, because web and technology has been neglected for too long in the network, and it would be a mistake to continue to do that. And the affiliates program has demonstrated some significant growth and could continue to do so.
Anyone else? Questions for Finance Committee?
I think we should move the agenda.
Sorry, this is Lauren. Can I just briefly make another comment? Get off speakerphone. I'm sorry. It's just that in terms of the discussion next Wednesday's meeting, we'll go into more into the budgets. And as Lonnie said again, the issue of headcount and staffing is very important, and it must be included in every budget. And that, as we had said, the BAI budget presents a deficit, and we need to have the WBI, the management, and the LSB produce a serious budget so the National Finance Committee can consider for 2008. But thank you for the good work that everyone has done on these budgets, and we look forward to a good resolution on them. Thank you.
Thank you. No other questions, then we move the agenda, and I return the chair back to Dave.
Thank you. The next items are the motions from the PMB meeting in Los Angeles, and we had referred them to finance for financial impact consideration by the National Finance Committee. The Finance Committee actually didn't get to them, but it was noted that it is possible that they may not require review by the National Finance Committee because they don't have a budgetary impact of more than 10%. On the sections that they come from, of the budget that they come from. So I put it on the agenda so that we could consider them. The first one was the motion to increase the National Election Supervisor hours from 120 to 160 monthly. And the as we debate that, the National Election Supervisor is available via phone if we want to bring him in for the discussion. So that's the motion before us. I believe, has this motion received a second when we first when it was first brought forward? Did the second
yes,
no?
It did. It should be in the minutes. I don't.
It did. Yes.
So, yeah. Both motions.
They both did.
So, who would like to present the motion to
fund information?
Yes, ours. Yes.
Well,
Lydia, is this increase 120 to 160? Is that only for this year election only, or?
Over what period of time does it apply?
Yes.
Only for this election?
Yes, I think that for the next election, it could be a whole different ball game, and
okay.
the that board can deal with assessing it more realistically. But I did make the motion. Should I motivate it again?
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah, please do.
Oh, okay. So it's just that the truth of the matter is now and has been the whole time that we've had election supervisors that they spend way, way more than the amount of hours that they're being paid for. And this year you have an additional layer or extra work because certainly the previous local election supervisors throughout the network, I believe it's true at all five stations, did not want to return. So it had to be advertising from scratch and interviews from scratch and, more importantly, training from scratch with the various supervisors. So it's been an inordinate amount of time. And doing across the network what the last year's election supervisor did at KPFA, which was helping to vet the membership lists and so forth. So I strongly advocate that we do this. It's only reasonable. And every election, we're going to need a new election supervisor, and so we need to treat them fairly if we want to continue with elections.
Okay, it's open for debate. Who would like to speak in opposed to the motion? I'm going to alternate.
This is Lauren. I'm not opposed to the motion, but I'm basically neutral, and I'd like to speak.
Go ahead.
Yes, as we had our discussion earlier this evening on finance, I would really like Casey, and he was available to for someone to conference him in, so that we can ask him exactly, you know, what are his needs in terms of the additional hours, and we can have a better idea of what we're talking about.
Is there any objection to my bringing Casey on the call via teleconference? I mean, I can conference him in. Okay, if there's no objection, then I'll do that. It'll take me just a moment, and I'll be right back.
Sarf, are you there? Sarf?
This is Michael. Can someone tell me how much money we're talking about? Did I miss that?
Lining okay. Information.
Hello?
Lani, are you there?
Yeah, that was an extra $400 a month. $400 a month? Yeah.
For how many months?
First station, wow. Right, Lani?
Hello?
I thought we said it was $5,000 a month.
Oh, this is for the extra hours.
Right.
Okay, everybody, this is Casey Peters. Casey is our National Election Supervisor. Casey, you're on the PNB board call.
Thank you. I was wondering if you could maybe schedule me for 20, 30 minutes from now, because I'm finishing training on the technical software for the vote count.
Is there any objection then to tabling this item until after the next item on the ED posted salary?
But this is Ray.
Yes,
are we anticipating being on that long? Because this should be a part of the public session.
It'll be about 15 minutes.
I'm sure
The next question is whether we're going to increase the posted salary for the executive director.
And then we have to talk about the New York meeting. We'll definitely still be on.
Okay.
Okay, so is there a motion to table this item for how long, Casey? 20 minutes?
Yes. After, your next item or the item after that, that's fine. I'll be available. But right now we have to finish up this training so that we can get everybody out of the office and lock it up for the weekend.
Motion
to table.
I move that we... postpone till half an hour from now.
Okay, move to table for half an hour. That's not debatable. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's adopted. Okay, Casey, we'll call you back then.
Thanks very kindly.
Thank you. Okay, so the next item was the question of whether to increase the posted salary for the executive director. And I put this in public session,
because I feel that it is actually a matter of sort of it does not seem to me to be a confidential question. But if anybody else has an opinion that it should be a confidential discussion, they should raise their point now. Okay, hearing no who are considering it in public session, then we'll go ahead with that discussion. Lydia, do you want to motivate the motion?
Yes, it was the feeling of everyone on the committee. Now, this wasn't voted on by the committee prior to our introducing the motion, but I queried everyone individually, and we all felt that it was important to raise the salary. Number one, one of the things that I did was I went to, I believe it was like salary.com, and I put in the elements in the job description, the posted job description, and which, you know, includes the size of the staff and the various components and the requirements that we were asking for in that, and it gave us the salary of a starting salary of $100,000. So that's you know, one of the ways we check. We felt this way anyway. With a long felt that we would have a pool that would be more suited to finding an adequate candidate, and that some folks who might actually otherwise be qualified might not apply based on our starting salary. And so that is why we are suggesting that we go to the $100,000.
Okay, who would like, is there anybody who would like to speak opposed to adjusting the posted starting salary to $100,000?
This is Ray.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, yes, I want to offer an amendment to substitute the figure of $90,000 and, well, I'll wait for a second.
Is there a second?
This is Ray, a second.
Point of information.
Okay, it's been seconded. Yes, sir. What's your point of information?
This salary, 100K, that was derived from some website.
No. It had long been. I mean, it had been discussed. Several people on the committee thought it was important to move it up to the 100,000. I'm just saying, separately from that, it didn't start with that. That separately from that, because this had been already voiced by individuals saying, including one candidate when we were looking at the search firms, all the search firms that I remember that we had conversations with all commented that it was low, that our starting salary was low. And we are specialized. We're doing a specialized recruitment. That's part of it. And so, therefore, you know, the salary was low. So that discussion has been long in the mix. And then I decided to go ahead, and a couple of sites had been recommended to me to go and see what is considered to be the norm, because any of your candidates are going to do that as well. What am I worth given my education, given my expertise, given my experience? What should I be asking for a salary? That's really what these websites are set up for, and came up with the 100,000, which is what we all had, the number we all had in mind anyway, and that, you know, the various recruiters had commented to us as well.
Thank you. Dave, I'd like to motivate my amendment.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. First of all, this is a time in Pacifica where, as we've all been told, our budget is extremely tight and we're entering some very hard times. There's been suggestions at different stations of the possibility of further layoffs, and I emphasize the word further because at WBAI there were already a couple of rounds of layoffs over the last 3 years. There's been a proposal from management for WBAI for a freeze in cost of living increases and a cut, 5% across the board cut in wage levels. I think at a, especially at a time like this, it's really contrary to what I would hope are our progressive principles about not supporting drastic disparities in salary levels within the foundation for us to be considering such a drastic increase in the current salary of the ED and what from the current salary to a figure of 100,000. I think even 90,000 is quite a lot, and I don't think the measuring stick. I certainly appreciate the importance of attracting candidates who can afford it and who are highest quality, and all of that is legitimate. But we have salaries throughout the network that are seriously below the standards of even similar nonprofit radio stations. So the standard isn't are we up to par with other like-minded institutions, but what is reasonable given our financial limits in our internal pay scale at the moment. And so I just think it would be a terrible disrespect to the paid staff of Pacifica to have our top executive be paid at such a disproportionately high level. And our LSB 2 years ago, when the same issue was being discussed, recommended a cap of 85,000. So I was proposing, in light of the increase in the cost of living since 2 years ago, rather, to make it 90,000.
Could I get a clarification before the discussion proceeds? When we say increase the salary to any number, what is the wording? Is it, you know, 90,000, minimum of 90,000, 90,000 or up, depending on experience? What's the language in the advertisement that's going to be to which the number will be applied?
Let me go to it. I'll have to go on the website to look at what we finally ended up with, but take other comments. It was, I think, Ray seconded it. So
yeah, Ray. Well, I'd like to alternate back and forth. Does anybody like to speak opposed to the motion to amend?
Don White.
Don, go ahead.
Well, I oppose the amendment, and I actually favor the main motion. I do not believe it is a violation of our progressive principles to set up a search for the very best executive director we can acquire. Now, this is going to be – these are tough shoes to fill because I believe Greg has done an extraordinary job. What we need to do is to offer enough money so we can ask the hard questions of the candidates. We need to be very honest and frank with the candidates and explain to them that we have real problems in the network. And we have especially a very big financial problem at WBAI. And we need to be able to ask these people if they're up to the challenge and that we're going to hold the new executive director very responsible for getting in there and actually making the hard decisions and doing the necessary work to move the foundation and the network forward. And I believe that this extra 15,000, I'm very hesitant to spend foundation money, and I'm very, very sensitive to the fact that it's a lot of money and that our listener sponsors sacrifice to make that money available. But I believe they will agree with us that this is a crucial choice, a crucial hire, and we need to be able to offer the kind of money where someone is held accountable and knows that they're being well paid, they're being respected on that level. But by the same token, this means then that the board is going to hold them very keenly and highly responsible for the kind of work. It's a critical period we're entering, and we need the top leadership at the foundation that we can get. So I'm going to oppose the substitute motion or the amendment, and I'll support the main motion.
Point of clarification, Dave?
Yes, Greg.
I don't have the wording, by the way.
Not with all respect, the differential would be 20,000, not 15, between since it's referred to, I don't want people to have the impression that I'm receiving a salary that I'm not receiving.